Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Thank you for listening to Spin, the Rally Pod, brought to you by Dirtfish Rally School. For your chance to experience life behind the wheel of a rally car, head to drive.dirtfish.com to find the course that's right for you. What are you waiting for? We're right here waiting for you.
Hello and welcome to Spin the Rally Pod, Dirtfish's weekly rallying podcast. I am your host, Luke Barry, but actually I'm the only member of Team Dirtfish here for what is a bonus episode of the podcast. And it's quite fitting that as we reach the milestone of episode 200, we welcome along a very special guest, none other than 2023 Junior World Rally Champion William Crichton. After 3 years in the championship, Crichton finally got the job done this year in the most dramatic of fashions, so we've got him along to talk about it. Over the course of the next hour, the Irishman walks us through his early karting career, racing the likes of Lando Norris no less, and then his step into rallying, right the way through to his WRC exploits and the emotions of becoming a world champion. Having known William for a good number of years, it's impressive to see the driver he has evolved into today, and he speaks openly and candidly about his career, even though he still owes me an ice cream, but more on that later. For now, I hope you enjoy our conversation, and don't forget to subscribe to Spin the Rally Pod on your chosen podcast provider to be the very first to hear every new episode as soon as it lands. Now, I am delighted to say that joining me today is the freshest world champion in the world of rallying, Mr. William Crichton. Will, thank you so much for your time. I know you're a bit of a man in demand nowadays. It comes with the trade, I guess, with winning a junior world title, but how are you?
I'm good, thanks. No, it's good problems to have, chatting to everyone, and, you know, it's nice memories that we have from last week, so, no, it's good to chat about it.
You sound depressingly normal to me. I was hoping you'd still be on cloud nine and away with the fairies and potentially still intoxicated on some things that help you have fun. I don't know. You've probably done a lot of that in the last week. Maybe we can't share that on air. But have you come back down to earth yet, or are you still just not taking in what you managed to achieve?
No, there's definitely still that good feeling, and you know, I suppose we've had a week now to let it sink in. So, you know, I think it's easier to talk about it now, and you can really reflect on it, reflect on the whole year that we've had now, that, you know, a little bit of time to think about it and what we've achieved, and, you know, how much it means to everybody. So, no, I'm definitely going to dine out on this for a while yet. I think I can milk it a little bit longer.
Are you a podcast professional yet? And that's not to suggest that you weren't, but I have it on good authority that after me you have somebody else to talk to as well. I've seen you on other ones immediately after the championship, so you are a busy man at the minute. No time for anything else but media.
Yeah, but as long as everybody says good things and writes good things, I've no problem, which I know you always do. But like I said, you know, a week to think about it, I think actually, you know, it helps, and you know, it sort of helps me get my thoughts, and you know, I think it's a bit more interesting talking now after there's been a little bit of time to reflect on the week.
Yeah, indeed. Now, listeners, what we do intend to do with this is kind of go through Will's rallying journey as well as just this season, because I think it's always nice to learn where the junior world champion has come from and how they've reached this point. But if we can, Will, I want to just reflect on this past week since winning the championship on Sunday, if we can, because I imagine it's been a massive whirlwind. The first thing I remember seeing was on Monday morning last week an email from Motorsport Ireland saying that there was going to be a bit of a homecoming for you at Dublin Airport. Did you know that was happening, or did you come out of arrivals and just surprise everybody that was there?
Sean McHugh, the Motorsport Ireland Academy coordinator and Billy Coleman Award coordinator, he sent me a text to say, you know, what time do I get in and what doors will I be coming out after I get my bags? And I thought, this is a bit weird. And then I saw I saw on Twitter that they were organising a bit of a homecoming. So, you know, obviously not everybody who's involved in the journey was able to be in, you know, at the rally in Greece. So, you know, that was the first opportunity that we could see a lot of the guys. So for the people that, you know, people made an effort to go there that had to drive, you know, hours down the road. So that was nice of them. And to not just get your bags and walk straight to the car and head home like we do after every other rally, it was pretty cool to get a few photos and you know, show the trophies and things to everybody. So yeah, that was pretty special.
Yeah, it's a taste of superstardom, isn't it, I guess, for those few hours you were an A-star celebrity.
Yeah, well, there was definitely no red carpet, but it felt pretty cool. And you know, for such a busy week, so much had gone on, it was a nice way to arrive back home. And then we, you know, we traveled back up the road home, me, Liam and Marcus in the car, and we were chatting about what we were going to get up to that night and chill out. And then we turned, I live in the countryside, turned up one of the back roads and saw these signs with our face on it, with the champions written on it. And then we drove into the yard and there was 40 or 50 people standing there cheering. So you know, you have these, your mind always wonders and, you know, what it would be like if you were to win. And, you know, I think the furthest I got was, you know, celebrating at the end of the stage. I never thought of all these other things that have happened as a result of it. You know, people wishing you congratulations, getting invites to places and, you know, local news channels coming to record things. It is pretty cool.
Well, you know, this is the thing, isn't it? Because I think I can't pretend to know what it's like in your situation. Of course I can't, but I can imagine it's very easy to forget that what you do means something to other people. You're not just doing it for you or for Liam or the team. It has a far wider reaching effect, I guess, which is hard to quantify when you're in this bubble of just trying to do your job. But you get home, the release is there, and then it's clear to see that this was a big deal to everyone.
Yeah, it's huge. You know, again, it sounds cliche and I've said it so many times, but for us to compete in the World Championship, there's a huge team behind us, and you know, there's so much more that goes into it than just turning up to these events. You know, the not so glamorous side of it, from trying to organize logistics, trying to organize budget to make it possible, watching onboards, you know, doing testing in my own car at home, doing mechanical training before we left on the car, so we were well prepared if we get into any bother. You know, and I don't say that as if it's not enjoyable. I'm very lucky to be what I've done and compete in the JWRC the last 3 years. It's been the most, you know, fun few years in motorsport that I've had. So you know, it's just there is a lot of effort that goes into it, and then to get a good result and reward everyone, that it makes it all the sweeter.
Now, beyond the celebrations, you obviously were at M Sport last week as well. Give us a bit of an idea of what you're up to there, because it was all go for you just a few days after you'd come home, wasn't it? You're back on a plane again.
Yeah, I'd love to fib and say that I got invited over to do a test in the Rally One car, but it wasn't quite like that. I agreed. The guys were having a PR day with Castrol, and they needed someone over to help the guests do a bit of chasing in a Puma ST on their track, and then give them a hot lap in the Ford GT. So I agreed, obviously, to do this before Greece, and I was thinking that I'll either be in really good form or it'll not be so good. So thankfully,
everyone will be asking, why are rally drivers so grumpy? I thought meant to be happy people.
Thankfully, it was really enjoyable few days, and the guys got a the Castrol guests got a spin round in the Puma WRC car in Greystoke Forest after, and Matt Wilson was kind enough to give me a run, and organised by Rich. So that was pretty special as well. So yeah, I was tired that week, but to be honest, running on adrenaline, and they were a really few enjoyable days, so I was happy to go over.
What was it like to sit in the Rally One car? It's an obvious question to ask you, and I guess one day you're hoping you're going to be on the other side of the seat as well, but was that your first taste of such machinery, first of all? I've made that assumption, but it might not be. I don't know.
Yeah, I've never been in a WRC car before. I don't think. Definitely not driven an Anger anyway. I think an R5 is probably the fastest rally car that I've been in, and to be honest, I was only in an R5 and a Rally 4 car there in the passenger seat not that long ago for a pre-event test before the Donegal Rally, and that reminded me how fast, you know, even the Rally 4 car is now, and it's a different sensation when you're sitting in the passenger seat. You know, you've got no wheel to hold on to, and you know, you're not, you know, you don't have any input into what the car is doing, so it's a completely different sensation of speed, and something that I can't say that I really enjoy, but whenever I get into the Rally 1 car, it was I was nervous before getting in, and Seb Scott will confirm that, but once I get in, okay, those cars are so fast, and, you know, they take off like a scalded cat, but whenever, you know, you see that the car is doing exactly what the driver does, and it's so stable at high speed, I very quickly became not nervous, and I just... It was an unbelievable experience. It was really enjoyable, and it, whilst the cars seem so spectacular and crazy from the outside, whenever you're actually sitting in them, it felt very relaxed.
Yeah. Now, speaking of crazy, I guess if we take you all the way back to being a young William in Northern Ireland, growing up on the farm and everything, to be a junior world champion must have felt so far off. I don't know if it's something you ever really contemplated or thought might happen, but can you just give us all an idea of, I guess, where the love of motorsport started for you? Again, apologies, it is a cliche question, but it wasn't rallying immediately for you, was it? It was karts first, is that right?
Yeah, it was go-karts. I competed at a track local to me, Nuts Corner Circuit. I was brought in to that by just for a bit of fun, and the Eastwood family looked after me up there, and yeah, it just started. I can't remember exactly what it was, but a day after school, you know, we went up, and it was to with the idea of getting into a bit of go-karting, and my dad actually brought my sister up the same day, and I'll never forget it, that there was the first corner, quite a fast right-hander, and my sister, I think, was taking an extra 10 mile an hour at the apex of the corner, and so much that she ended up in the kiddie litter on the outside. And my dad always says that she was doing the same speed through the gravel than I was on the actual track, so he thought that she was the one that deserved a bit of backing to begin with. So yeah, it started with just going to Nuts Corner to compete in the karts, and one thing led to another, that we won the Northern Irish Karting Championship. Then started to do a bit of karting in the south as well, and then obviously over to the Super One, the British Championship, which was, you know, still is really competitive, and, you know, some drivers that were there at that time are now even in F1. So I think that's where I learned, you know, the basic skills to go racing.
Who was around at that time then? I'm trying to think. You're a similar age to me, aren't you? So was it George Russell, this sort of lot, or who was around at that time?
George Russell would have been slightly ahead of me, I think, at that stage, but the one I do remember was Lando Norris, and competed against him in either, I don't think it was cadets, it was either Mini Max or Junior Max, and yeah.
And you beat him, obviously.
Well, I actually remembered, I think he was on pole at one of the races, and I was on second, and it was in the wet, and I was always quite heavy in the kart, so whenever it wet, that worked to my advantage. So we were side by side, and obviously just, I don't think I'd ever been that far up after quali, and nerves got the better of me, and I went for this outrageous lunge into a hairpin, and I passed him. So you could say I was leading for a split second, but then I never made the apex of the corner. I was straight off into the grass.
Ah, okay.
It was short-lived.
So is the reason he was competing in Singapore in F1 and you started rally driving, is that correct?
Yeah, I think you can read between the lines.
But in all seriousness, again, it is an obvious question to put to you, but at what point did rallying become the focus. Why, or how did that change come about? Was it something you'd always thought of, or did you kind of, were you forced into it? Where was that thinking, and how did you end up behind the wheel of a rally car instead?
I wouldn't say forced into it, but it was probably because my dad had always competed in rally, and you know, he probably felt more at home at that side of things. And you know, it's so competitive as well in the karting. You know, all the guys there are essentially aiming to go to F1. You know, that's the pathway. And I suppose it wasn't as if we wanted to go into rallying because we wanted to get to the WRC. I think it was just quite natural because that's where my dad felt quite at home. And you know, whenever the Junior 1000 car landed, I was absolutely delighted. You know, I just wanted to drive anything, and you know, this sounded like a great idea to start junior rallying.
I was going to say, tell us about that Junior 1000 scheme for those that aren't aware. In the UK and Ireland, it's quite a big thing, and it's a great way, as you say, to get into rallying at a very young age, because obviously there are single venue airfield stuff, not necessarily always proper stages, although you can get certain events. But just to be competing as a teenager, not having to wait until you're 17 until your license, is amazing. And I guess you'd have to credit a lot of your success now to your time spent there at the beginning.
For sure. Whenever I started, it was all really single venue stuff, and did some over in Kames in Scotland, and you know, a few races in England as well, and then some things back home. So it, you know, it was that's where I started rallying, and that's where I learned the skills of, you know, we were able to use pace notes at the same time, and some of them were maps. But you know, it gave you a great insight at such a young age into what rallying's all about. And now, you know, the guys in the Irish Forestry Championship, there's like 25 cars in the Junior 1000 class, and those guys are doing, guys and girls are doing the exact same rally that, you know, the person with number one on their door is doing in an R5 car. So it that the opportunity there now is really good, and you know, it's clear to see with so many competitors in it.
Yeah. How good were you back then? That might sound like a weird question, but do you think you're at the level? Were you always quick? And you can be honest now. You can be humble now, your few years down the line.
I think there was always some natural ability, you know, to get into the car and drive fast. And you know, some of the pictures from whenever I had a Ford Ka that Dad brought home from work that was going to the scrapyard. And one year whenever the yard froze over, you know, it was straight out to try and slide it from one end of the shed to the other without hitting the wall on the way past. So there was always a natural ability to be able to drive, but you know, obviously it's a completely different level whenever I started. And you know, I'd like to say I've been determined to try and work at it, especially the latter years whenever it's got a lot more serious. But yeah, I think there's definitely some natural ability that's required there at the beginning.
Now tell us about 2015. I imagine quite an important year for you, but you step out of juniors, don't you, as a champion, and you end up in, was it initially a Fiesta R2? I always remember you as the little 208 driver, because that's when I first came across you, but it was Fiesta first, is that right?
You're going to have to help me. That is one thing that I'm not good at. So I might not get it 100%, but yeah, we stepped out of the juniors, and then there may have been, yeah, there was one or two rallies in a Fiesta 1600, but very quickly we then moved into the Peugeot 208 R2. You know, once we realised that there was some debate, you know, after we left juniors, would we go into the R1 class or go just straight to R2? So we did a couple of rallies in the Fiesta, and you know, we were clear that R2 was the way forward. And yeah, then we quickly got the Peugeot R2, and we were in that for quite a few years. And you know, such a good little car, and had so much fun in it. Did a lot of rallying in Ireland, the Irish Tarmac Rally Championship, which, as everyone knows, has some massive rallies in it. So, you know, I was really lucky to have that pathway from competing in karts at, you know, quite a high level in the Super One Championship in the UK, to then going straight into rallying, competing in loads of Junior 1000 events, you know, all around Ireland and the UK, and then essentially to jump straight into an R2 car, which, you know, it's not cheap. So and to do the Irish Tarmac Championship, you know, international rallies, you could say I did it right, but you know, it cost, you know, it's expensive to do that, and I was lucky that I had that opportunity. And you know, again, there wasn't a particular goal that we had targeted, but you know, we were always about trying to go as fast as we could, and some days too fast, but you know, that was a good start.
I was gonna say, and you've kind of almost preempted where I was gonna go with my next question in a roundabout way, but at this stage you're obviously still very young, you're living the dream effectively, you're driving a rally car, you're having a great time, you're achieving good results. Is there any part of you that starts looking ahead, or is it literally just living the moment, next rally's your next focus and that's it? Are you targeting anything, are you planning anything for the future, or as I say, is it just all about the there and now?
No, I think okay, it was maybe never talked about, but in my own head, you know, whenever you're competing in karts, you know, you want to be an F1 driver. So many people in karting now, especially in the at that level in the British Championship, that, you know, that's what they're all aiming for, and it'll be in the back of their head whether they said or not. So once we left karts, then we got into rallying, then it was okay, I want to be in the WRC, but you know, that's all well and good in the back of your head, but you know, it's another thing saying it.
Now, the British Championship, I guess, was quite a big part of your rallying story, particularly towards the end of the last decade. Now, I remember you as, I think it was the Pirelli International I was watching in 2017. And I actually think it was your dad that was next to me. But at this point, I didn't know anything about the family or know anybody. I actually don't know your dad too well now, to be fair. I'm quite bad at that sort of stuff. But I remember just you being this really exciting kid that had come along, and you were kind of rocking the boat a little bit, because there weren't that many people over in the UK that knew much about William Crichton. But you certainly made an impression. I'm pretty sure on your first event you were second, you're definitely on the podium. And in the Pirelli, when I was out watching, I'm not saying it's down to me, but I'm going to claim the credit, because you knew I was going to be a future journalist to write about it, you see, so you're inspired to win. I can tell. You don't have to tell me it's true. I know it is. but it was a maiden British Championship victory for you, wasn't it? So that, how big a sort of part did the British Championship, I guess, play in your career? I know you maybe had more years at it than was maybe ideal, but to start with at this point, breaking onto it, you made a big impression.
Yeah, I think that was, you know, it still is a great championship. Okay, the numbers aren't great, you know, now, but regardless of the numbers, there's always good competition. And the years that I did it with the junior BRC, there was good depth, and you know, there was always good competition. And it was, you know, when we went there, that was a big step for us. And you know, I would say when we competed a year in the BRC, we would look back and said, geez, never in a year, you know, never did we think we would do a full year competition in the British Rally Championship. So there was no doubt about it that was a big step. And then to go and actually be, you know, competitive, I think in 2017, that was the year we raced Callum Devine. And, you know, it was arguably the year that we missed, like we just really did just miss out. It came down to the Isle of Man, and it was neck and neck, and Oscar Solberg, I think, was in that race as well. So, you know, to how quickly we could have moved on if we won in that year, whereas we had to stick at it another few years, it went against us, and then eventually we got it. But that was, you know, that was an important championship for us, and you know, it's highly recognized you know, in the world of rallying. So to have that against your name is pretty sweet.
Yeah, you're right though, you did almost become the nearly man for a few years. You were always somehow, despite how good you clearly were, you always kept somehow coming second. And it became one of those things that was like, will we ever get the job done? I remember, was it Josh McAlade, obviously a fellow Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy member of yours, got the championship in 19, and he's a couple years younger than you. So it might be a strange thing to ask, but is that frustrating in that situation when you've got somebody coming up and you know you're good enough to win, but you're not quite getting it across the line? And if so, what does that, sort of looking maybe with the benefit of hindsight, what do you learn from that experience of coming so close to a championship title but not quite getting it done?
Yeah, it's, I suppose looking back on it, you know, it was hard work sticking at it for, you know, say 1 or 2 years longer than we would have hoped to try and win that. But you know, to have that now and have it to my name, you know, I wouldn't take that away, and I don't regret it. And, you know, it wasn't that we were just staying there to try and win the championship, but along with that, you know, I improved a lot as well. You know, to do any year in the BRC, never mind three, I think. I did that, you know, what I've learned from that, you know, doing your own recce, writing your own pace notes, it's all part of, you know, development as a driver and as a crew. And, you know, I had Liam alongside me for all of that. So, you know, we've done plenty of rallies and we've been around lots of corners and made loads of mistakes and all that has been part of just trying to learn and improve. And yeah, it's mad looking back on it now, you know, everything that we have done, but it's, you know, our path has been quite smart, I think. And, you know, I don't think we've really wasted any time and we've tried to progress as soon as we can. And, you know, it takes time to be competitive in all these championships.
Yeah. The only bone I've got to pick with all of this is, I don't know if you remember it, but I keep bringing it up and I actually can't remember the context, but it was the 2020 Caribbean Rally. And for some reason, there was some kind of deal where you owed me an ice cream and you still haven't bought me that ice cream. So I am waiting, and you're a world champion now. So I'm going to say that you can afford it. So I'm waiting, Will. I'll take a 99 flake. I'm easily pleased.
If we can talk M-Sport into providing a free ice cream for winning the championship, then we can definitely make that happen.
Free? You can't even afford a couple quid, no?
we have got really good ice creams in our shop in Belfast, so we'll have to get you over. And there you go, plugging it already.
Very good. Very slick, actually. Very impressive. But just for context as well, because I don't actually think we've placed it on record here, you did end up winning the junior British title in 2021. But I guess the big thing that year for you is you finally made that step into the world championship. And I say finally, maybe that's not quite the right word to use, but at that point, you're doing a dual campaign because the Fiesta Rally 4 you were using was eligible for both championships. So just... And well, it was Croatia, I think, wasn't it, the first event? Give us an idea of just how eye-opening that was to head into the World Championship and up against the best junior drivers in the world on a rally you'd never done. You weren't that familiar with rallying on the continent. It was all just new for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was completely new. And, you know, it doesn't seem like that long ago. But it wasn't that long ago. You know, nervous, wanted to do well. So... I think one thing that did work in our favour is that I knew how competitive it was going to be and how difficult it was going to be. And I knew that we wouldn't be, you know, that it was going to be unlikely that we could fight at the top. And I think that was important. And that actually helped a lot because, you know, I would have went testing quite a lot in the run up to starting the JWRC with DGM and Johnny and Davey Greer would have came. And, you know, it was all about getting into the car at the start of the test and just driving flat out and not taking the whole day at the test to build up to that speed. So I think having a reality check and knowing how difficult it was going to be made me work harder and try to drive as fast as I could so that whenever we got to the championship, we maybe just weren't as far off as possibly we would have thought. So I think in Croatia, you know, come the end of the rally, it was going into the power stage that... Sammy was going for the stage win and he was only maybe a couple of seconds behind us in the overall result because he had had problems during the rally, and we wanted to try and keep the position. Obviously, we didn't think it was going to happen when we had seen how quick Sammy was and had been all weekend, and we were able to hold the position. And I can't remember exactly whether we went faster than him or we just... We set a close enough time that he didn't overtake us. But, you know, I think from the first event, you know, okay, it was only one stage, but we showed that we can have a bit of pace when it was required.
I'm just going to add some context in there as well. Sammy obviously being Sammy Payari, who became champion that year, didn't he? And is obviously in WRC2 at the minute. But in terms of that first year, and I'm going to go to the end of it now, I guess. First of all, did you have a plan to do more than one year? And secondly, were you happy with how that first year went, considering your, I guess, inexperience at that level prior to heading into it?
Yeah, I think there was a plan that, you know, if you're going to do the JWRC, it needs to be, you know, it needs to be a multi-year project. You know, okay, we see it with some drivers that come in and are competitive in their first year. And for me, that's really, really impressive because the rallies are so difficult. And if you're just jumping straight to that level to get it right and be consistently fast and make no mistakes over such long rallies, you know, that is really, really impressive. But I would say to be honest, no, I probably wasn't as happy as I would have wanted to have been, and that's just because, you know, we're all drivers, they're competitive and they want to win. And you know, I think we were quite quick in Ypres, and I was happy with that because I had experience of the rallies. We set a load of fastest stage times. We were racing John Armstrong. Okay, we had a problem with the car at the start of the rally that we had to stop and you know, put us out of contention for trying to win the event. But after that, we drove flat out all weekend and no mistakes, and we were competitive with the quickest drivers in the class. So that was, you know, that showed that it's possible with having the experience of the rallies that we can be fast. So, you know, that kept us motivated, and I suppose was part of realizing why we should stick at the championship and come back for another year.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that actually, but you're right to raise that. And as you say, it's one of those events you had done before, so to prove that when you were on a more of a level playing field, I guess, with everybody else, that you could be quick was key. But again, apologies, I'm reaching for the cliche box again and going for a very obvious and standard question, but what would you say is the biggest difference from competing back home in Ireland or the UK to driving in the WRC? Because yes, the goal is the same, you want to win, you're rallying, there's stages, but apart from that, there are quite a few differences, aren't there?
I guess it's the length of the rallies, the length of the stages. You know, you recce for two flat out days, and the detail that you have to go into with the onboards, and you know, it's not taking anything away from rallying back home. You know, some of the top guys back home are going into that detail, and you know, it shows, and that's why they win. But you know, particularly the likes of Callum, who has competed in the WRC, that then has come back home and, you know, won the Irish Tarmac Championship this year, so it shows. But I suppose just the professionalism and the level of detail that you have to go into in the WRC, that, you know, it sticks with you forever. And, you know, I think if you just go to do any other rally, then you prepare the same way that you would prepare for any rally in the WRC, and, you know, that shows.
All rallying, one source. By now, you know that dirtfish.com is the place to go for all of your rallying news. But when it's time to try your hand behind the wheel, just join us here at Dirtfish Rally School, nestled in the Cascade Mountains in Snoqualmie, Washington. Whether you're a pro seeking extra seat time or a novice looking to get started, we've got programs tailored to all rallying needs. And when you want to watch the best in the world, just head over to our YouTube channel. Our coverage of the WRC and American rallying is second to none. Follow us at Dirtfish Rally across all social media platforms and shop the latest looks in our merchandise store now. As always, rally on.
So 2022, last year, your second year in the juniors, and I guess the biggest change was the step into the four-wheel drive Fiesta Rally 3, which became the stock car, I guess, the car you had to use for the championship. Weirdly, and I remember actually calling you up for a feature on driving an R5 car years ago in my old job, and in a way it was a bit silly that I picked you, because you didn't actually have that much experience driving four-wheel drive cars. Pretty much everything you'd done was front-wheel drive. So was that adaption difficult, or was it quite easy to jump from Rally 4 to Rally 3 last year?
It wasn't ideal, because we had done, you know, we did a year in the JWRC. Obviously it was Rally 4 front-wheel drive, so we had experience of the car, experience of how it all worked, experience of the rallies. So then we wanted to use that going into the next year, but then obviously the car changes. So that side of it wasn't ideal, but then once we stepped in and drove one of the Rally 3 cars, you know, I'm pretty happy, because, you know, driving a four-wheel drive car, once you've got the most out of the Rally 4 car, to then have the added benefit of four-wheel drive, it's a lot of fun, and particularly on the gravel. Although stepping from Rally 4 to Rally 3, you know, yes, it's four-wheel drive, but you use a lot of the techniques that I learned in the Rally 4 car, and that, you know, that comes through. And, you know, I put down to being able to drive the Rally 3 car fast is because I was able to drive the Rally 4 car fast.
Yeah. Last year, obviously, you got your first junior WRC podium. I think you ended up with two of them throughout the year, didn't you? But that first one, actually on the first event in the Rally 3 car, third place in Sweden, wasn't it? So tell us a bit about that result and that breakthrough.
Yeah, great start to the year. John won the rally that year with Brian. So what happened to John when he crashed there in the previous year. To come back then and win, everybody was on a high, and obviously for us to be on the podium with him as well was special. So yeah, I'll remember that one. I suppose on the other hand, you know, I can't remember the exact circumstances of that rally, but you know, particularly in Greece last year, we got to the podium, you could say, because you know other guys had problems and we capitalized from it. And we were in the third position from early on in the rally, and it was just about maintaining that. So to be honest, I don't think it was until this year that we were getting stage wins and getting podiums out of genuinely being fast. Okay, it started to shine through at the end of last year, but yeah, it really, really came together this year.
That's quite a key point, actually. And in some ways, it's difficult to quantify, I guess, your progression from last year to this, because you were the only driver that competed last year that returned this year. So your benchmarks had completely changed. But how much of a better driver, I guess, do you think you were this year compared to last year?
There's definitely a jump. And I felt a lot more, you know, once we get into the start of this year, got Sweden out of the way, a lot more relaxed and, you know, good confidence that, you know, the speed was there when we needed it to be. So yeah, there definitely was a jump, but you know, I put it down to being in the championship for the 2 years before that and competing against John and Sammy and Robbie, all those guys who, you know, you have to drive flat out or you get left behind because you know it's so competitive. So you're always trying to improve, and you know, since I started in the JWRC to now, the development has been massive in all aspects.
And you mentioned John Armstrong briefly. I'm just going to go back to that, if I may, as well, because I have it under good authority that there is still a WhatsApp group with you, Liam, John and Brian Hoy. You did forge a bit of a foursome last year. It was very clear from the outside that you all got on and you supported each other. I guess just how much does your relationship matter with John in the sense of how much has he been able to help you? And I guess last year, so having somebody with a bit more experience that could sort of help you if needed, how big a factor was that in your growth to becoming champion?
Yeah, big. John and I knew of John. Don't know if John knew of me, but you know, before we were friends, and that first year competing in the JWRC is, you know, we knew of each other, but we weren't that close. And you know, from the first rally, we quickly, John, Liam, Brian, and myself, you know, we all developed a good relationship, and it got stronger and throughout the year. And you know, just naturally, if you're competing in the WRC and there's locals there with you, you know, you're the Swedes all stay together, the Finns all stay together, and the Paddies, we all stay together. So yeah, it was such good crack. And you know, the stories and the memories that we have from those years, you know, they're brilliant rallies. And we had a lot of fun. And you know, John was really helpful to me. He had, you know, he has quite a lot of experience at that level, and he was very helpful whenever I was coming in. And a lot of stuff that I took on in that first year was, you know, was stuff that I had picked up from watching him or listening with how he was working with Brian. So, and Phil as well before that. It was good fun. And you know, you saw how close John got to winning the JWRC, and you know, John is such a fast driver, and you know, just didn't have that bit of luck in the last rally. And you know, Liam and I were lucky that we did have a bit of luck, and it fell for us. But you know, it's good memories.
You used the word luck there, but behind closed doors in chats with John, have you been as gracious, or have you maybe subtly wound him up that you got the job done and he didn't quite manage to?
No, because you know, John is such a fast driver, and you know, I'm sure it's difficult that for to come so close. You know, I know how frustrated I would have been if we didn't win, you know, the championship after, you know, having such a good lead and having such a strong year to then get to Greece and for it to fall apart. So, not that it fell apart for John, it just didn't fall for him. But look, you know, he's done a lot of rallies in the Rally 3 now with M Sport, and you know, had some serious good results that has you know, allowed him to get a drive in the Rally 2 car and the ERC. So, you know, I hope for John that keeps progressing.
Yeah, no, I think it's a fair, very fair point to raise, actually. And a very good answer. You've shown yourself to be a good character there, Will, so well done. Speaking of this year, though, I remember if we go back to Sweden, which was the first round, and a lot of the talk was about you being the clear and obvious favourite for the championship because, as we alluded to before, you were the only one who had done the championship before. Now, at the time, I seem to remember you weren't really interested in such talk, and I think one of your phrases might have been, well, it's not for me to decide what people say about me, which is completely fair. But I guess looking back now at the end of it, did you feel any added pressure or any sort of extra expectation upon yourself because of that? I don't know how big an advantage it was, but I guess it is an advantage to have done it before. And then because you'd done 2 years, were you putting more pressure on yourself for year three? You thought, right, I've got everything I need now. Now is when I have to grab it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, there was definitely added pressure. I suppose at the time you say there's not added pressure because then in your mind you don't build it up. But yeah, there's definitely pressure. It was, you know, if we didn't win this year in the JWRC, we probably, you know, we wouldn't have been, we couldn't have afforded to do another, you know, a fourth year at it. So it was, yeah, it was their bust, really. and yeah, that there's definitely pressure with that. And, you know, even regardless of that, the fact that you're the only driver returning, you've experienced the events, you worked with the team before. I've done quite a few rallies in the Rally 3. You know, it was all pointing towards me.
I think it's fair to say you ended up having a massively up and down roller coaster emotion filled year as well. And I guess all those emotions in the one rally at the start in Sweden. There is a feature actually on dirtrace.com, which I would thoroughly recommend you all go and check out if you get the chance. But just remind everybody, I guess, of the trials and tribulations that went through that event. Ended up in you winning by 0.6 of a second over Laurent Pellier, which is, to be honest, so incredible you couldn't really make it up if you tried, could you?
No, it's mad. We had such good preparation for that event. You know, driving on the snow and ice is probably my most favorite surface. It's so much fun whenever you get into the groove and, you know, you're using the snowbanks to stay on the road and, you know, send the car sideways and carrying really good speed. It's such a good feeling. So, yeah, we did a little rally over there before we went into WRC Sweden, and that set us up really well and started well, you know, built up a good lead. The rally was pretty similar to the year before, so everything felt really comfortable. And then yeah, it all fell apart. The pins in the bonnet, didn't put them in after doing some work on the car, and I was in, there was snow, we were in a snowbank, and I broke off some of the lights in the previous stage, and I was down cleaning the grill out, and to work at the lights I had to lift the bonnet. And I think my mind was too busy worrying about getting this grill on, because I knew the next stage there was a lot of stones, so I didn't want anything coming in and puncturing the radiator. So I was in trying to cable tie that, and yeah, I suppose in the heat of the moment forgot to put the pins back in the bonnet, and we didn't realize this until about 150 meters into the next stage. And it blew up and smashed the screen.
Well, you know what they say about mistakes, don't they? If you make it once, that's fine, but you don't make it twice. And I have, again, under good authority, that you've become, I guess, maybe a double, triple checker of your bonnet pins from now on.
Yeah, checking the pins in the bonnet and checking the pins in the boot. I think I do about 3 laps of the car before I get in and put the belts on now. But yeah, we can look back on it now and laugh, I suppose. And it was just a mad story to the rally. You know, Liam had to get out and essentially just smash the bonnet down because obviously everything was bent. So he managed to get one pin in, and we had the lights on the lamp pod on the bonnet of the car, and I have no idea, but it was still working. It didn't break, and the stage was dark, so we needed the lights, and it happened at the first junction of like a 20k stage. So we basically had the whole stage to go with one pin in the bonnet, and when the air was at high speed, when the air was catching in underneath the bonnet, it was starting to twist it, and I thought it was going to break the one pin and come back up again, and it Yeah, and obviously with the windscreen completely smashed as well, it was hard to see where you're going, never mind anything else. So I actually think on the splits after we got going again, we were, you know, quickest or level with the rest of the guys, if you take out the time that we had stopped. So it was pretty crazy.
That's just nuts to me, though. And I guess that is the key difference between me and a professional athlete and a rally driver, is you guys have this ability to just forget. Like, you're thinking all these things, but you're still driving your fastest. If that was me, I'd be backing off, just constantly thinking about it, getting annoyed at myself that it happened, and I'd struggle to block that out and just get on with the job. But you managed to do it. As you say, it was a very tense finale in the end. It did end up going your way. But I guess, with the benefit of hindsight, how important was it for you to get that? Because that was obviously, at that time, the first JWRC win of your career, wasn't it? So for you, as a confidence booster, to go into that event, win it in such a sort of emotional fashion, and then, I guess, more than that, prove to yourself and to everybody just how fast you were, did that make a difference, I think, for the rest of your season? Did it give you more confidence and belief that you could get this done?
Yeah, well, I suppose in that last point, I think it also surprises you, you know, what you can do whenever the pressure is up and the adrenaline's going. So it was pressure off, and also I think you know, to have such a lead in a rally, do something so stupid to leave the pit side, and that effectively going to cost you the win. You know, it would have been a difficult start to the year from all aspects, and you know, would have been hard on the motivation, I suppose, as well. So to turn it around, it's kind of what we had to do, you know. There wasn't really a choice, and we just had to do everything that we could to try and win, because while second would have been a good result, just with the circumstances, it wouldn't have sat well with me anyway, and I'm sure the rest of the team. So to turn it around and show a lot of determination, and, you know, it proved a lot. Rather than just winning the rally, it gave us a lot of confidence.
Now, it's not to demean the sort of events in the middle of the year, but I'm going to quickly sort of skip through them a little bit with a bit of a roundup, just because I'm conscious of time. It's classic with these. You always think you've got all the time in the world, and I'm looking down how long it's been going on, and time flies. But Croatia, I guess, a very weird one for you this year. Leading, went off the road, then ended up actually extending your championship lead, because unfortunately for Laurent, and I have to say, it was utterly cruel luck for him this year. I feel really sorry for how this panned out, but it was a head gasket, I think, wasn't it? The engine ended up expiring on him. He tried so hard to get it to the end, but that ended up being your benefit. Sardinia, you won, so that's two wins out of three. Estonia, not so great, but you still came into Greece with a championship lead. But just if you can sort of wind your head back a couple of weeks. And I remember we had a fairly long conversation actually before I was building a preview, and a lot of it was essentially no use for what I was doing. I was just interested in where your psyche was, because it was a very difficult position for somebody to be in, because you had, I think it's fair to say, proved yourself to be the quickest driver over the course of the year. You had the most stage wins, you had the most wins of anybody, because you had two, but that didn't mean anything. Essentially, with the double points on offer in Greece, it was essentially anybody could still win. So in a weird way, not the hard work wasn't for nothing, I guess having that buffer definitely with the way Greece panned out came to your aid. But it's a very strange space for a driver, isn't it? Because I think everybody was talking about you as the obvious guy to win, but nothing was guaranteed at all.
No, like you said, you know, we had a good year in the build up to that. We won two rallies. We led two rallies and then crashed out of them. So, we had a good points lead, but as you say, with the double points and then the unpredictability of Greece in itself, nothing was, you know, I knew fine rightly that nothing was, you know, nothing was sorted, and that there was going to be a lot still to happen, and we weren't disappointed, that's for sure.
I remember you said to me, actually, your key and essentially your only objective for the weekend was get through Friday without Super Rally. And what ended up happening, Will?
Yeah, it didn't last too long. it started well. We won the first stage on Thursday evening. I did a bit of testing at home a couple of days before we left on the tarmac with the gravel setup, because I knew that Thursday night super special. It was going to be a safer stage, you could say, you know, no big rocks or anything like that, although it's easy to mess those stages up. But I wanted to win that one and start the rally with a stage win point. And
I'm going to interject there quickly, because I think I said it to you at the time, but that was genius to me. And it might be something everybody does, I don't know. But that, to me, was so clever on your half. It's the finer details that make the difference. But do carry on. Just wanted to give you a bit of a compliment there, mate.
Yeah, it... I suppose it's only clever because it worked out and we won the stage. But yeah, just, you know, it's a different feeling driving the car with the gravel tires and, you know, all the pitch. But it's also a good feeling. It's a lot of fun. But it started really well, got the stage win point, and then into Friday, it was just get through, forget about the times, let's just stay out of bother. In the second stage of the day, I started to notice some... I actually thought it was smoke. I thought we were going to have a flat tire, but it was steam, a pipe or some connection to the radiator had come loose or come off, and basically the radiator had emptied itself, and, you know, pretty quickly. It went from good to, yeah, awful, and it happened quite late on the stage, so we were really lucky that we got to the finish line. And as soon as we got to the stop line, stopped the car, and there was a tire zone coming up, so we thought, okay, if at least we can try to get there, then we can look after the tires and the team can investigate the car and see if there's anything they can do. But even driving, you know, the last kilometre or two of the stage had done damage to put us out for that day, so we had to retire the car in the hope that the team could fix the problem and we would have something then to compete with for the rest of the weekend, because we knew if we kept working to try and keep the car going that, you know, too much damage would be done and we would have absolutely no chance. So
you've undersold that though, because you, am I right saying you pushed that car from the end of the stage to the tire fitting zone? Like, that is some effort in the heat of that weekend.
Yeah, I'll not exaggerate, we didn't push it the full way, because I don't think I'd be here now if we tried to do that, especially the amount of spares that we had in the car. But some of it was downhill, so we could push it, jump in and get it going, and then we had to drive a little bit of it, and then we obviously able to get some water into the car and try and make a temporary fix that would get us to the tire zone. And anywhere that we could, we were freewheeling the car, pushing it, and then pushing it into the tire zone. So yeah, it wasn't nice, you know, to be honest. After getting into the tire zone, the guys did the best they could, but, you know, they said we had to retire the car, and, you know, we essentially had to walk out of the tire zone on our own two legs, whereas everybody was driving out to the next loop of stages. So that wasn't nice. And you know, at that stage we obviously thought that you know, it wasn't looking good.
How bleak was it? Because we all know in the end that the M-Sport Poland guys did, I think it's fair to say, one of the most remarkable repair jobs to get you back out for Saturday. But at that point, in your head, was that it over? Did you see light at the end of the tunnel then?
You know, everyone is obviously saying to you, you know, it's, you never know and it's not over. And, you know, I did accept that, but it's also hard to get that into your head. I wouldn't say that I give up. No, I definitely didn't give up on... I knew that there was still a chance, but let's say I thought there was an even less chance than the position we were in at the start of the year in Sweden, and that was pretty difficult. So, you know, I did think that the chances of turning it around, that we could win, were extremely slim. But, you know, we got into the car, headed back up the road to the accommodation, got stuck into the notes, and, you know, we prepared like Sweden and any other rally. We got stuck back into it and did everything normal and as we could. And even, I suppose, at that point it was difficult because we hadn't even heard from the team whether the car was sorted to go the next day, and we're sitting at home doing the notes. So
yes, it could have been for nothing, couldn't it? But I guess in a way, does that, if you hadn't been doing that, I guess you'd just been lolling, wouldn't you? So I guess it would have focused your mind a bit to not think about anything else apart from the job that you should be doing.
Yeah, true. You know, and we have such a good team. My family were out there. Marcus from DGM, John Coyne was out there from the Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy. You know, everyone was, you know, times like that, everyone's around you in a bubble to do what they can, and there's only so much they can do. But, you know, from that point onwards, everything, I suppose you could say, started to fall into place. And she say Amsport Poland did a great job, replaced everything that they could, got the car into Parc Fermé, and it went from there. That was, I suppose you could say, that was the start of the rally then.
So talk us through that mindset on Saturday, because you'd started the event knowing that you had to be cautious because in essence you had something to lose. But I guess at this point you had nothing to lose, did you? You had everything to gain. So the stage times tell me you went on a bit of a push. Is that kind of how it was in the car as well?
Yeah, the pressure was off in a way. We could drive, you know, flat out. But at the same time, you know, if something did happen to the other guys, we had to finish each day. So we couldn't go completely crazy and just, you know, be silly. We could definitely drive fast, but we still had to, if there was big rocks or anything that we could avoid, we had to be mindful of. So we stalled in the first stage out on a really muddy section on Saturday, and we still won the stage. So, you know, I think that sort of shows the pace that we were going at. So, and obviously when we got to the end of the first stage on Saturday, we saw that Lauren was in bother. And to be honest, we were that far ahead or that far behind that it didn't compute to me. I didn't automatically think, okay, that we're straight back in it. No, I still thought that just because of how bad a Friday we had, that in my own head I hadn't figured it all out, so it was still just about trying to win the stages. Obviously when I saw Lauren was going to be out for that day, I knew that we definitely couldn't afford to not get to the end of the day, but it was still about winning stages. So that's, you know, it's slightly, you could say, a better situation to be in than having to drive slow and protect the car.
Yeah, which I guess is what Diego out front had to do, wasn't it? But just to add a bit of context here, which is my fault for not saying this at the start, but for those that maybe aren't aware, there's a championship point for every stage won. So for Will to go through this Saturday and to win all these stages is essentially chipping down his deficit that he's losing to Diego in the championship. So that's why it's so important to go so quickly. Yes, obviously you can gain a couple of positions, but when you've lost, like, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes having retired, then gaining places is hard. But as you say, it was one of those things that I was finding it difficult to work out what was going on during the rally. I think Seb Scott, bless him, was finding it difficult to try and work out. He was being asked and couldn't work out the permutations either. But were there any calculations going on in your head, or was it just, we need to keep going, keep winning, and hopefully it'll look after itself?
Liam and I think said in the car after the first stage, obviously with Lauren stopping, and you know, we knew that, okay, it does change things, but we said to each other, right, let's get to service, let's try and win the next two stages, get to service, and then we'll get the guys to do a few calculations, and at that point then starting to think about what do we need to do, because it was really important to know that if we didn't have to win a stage, that we knew that, because if you go into Greece with the mentality to try and win the stage, it's very possible that you do damage, or just the risk of doing that is quite high. So anytime we didn't need to win a stage, it was just completely back off and try and get through with no issues.
Obviously, it ended up being, I think the final gap was 4 points in the championship. You can correct me. It's probably one of those numbers that you'll never forget. But in a way, you don't. Well, I'll double check later for you, mate, and I'll let you know. Maybe you get tattooed or something so you don't forget. But it was, in a weird sense to me, this is my assumption, so by all means correct me if I'm wrong, but quite a, almost an anticlimactic way to end the season, because you didn't actually get to do the final stage, did you? At this point, I think it was all but wrapped up. You just had to drive through the stage effectively to get the job done. But was that quite a strange feeling, having all this sort of tension and all of a sudden that was it at the start line rather than getting through the stage?
Yeah, I suppose, but at the same time, you know, it was, and on the Sundays in the WRC, you know, we had an hour and a half regroup in the service area before we headed out to the last stage. So, you know, it's hard sitting about that long when you know what's on the line. So to get psyched up and, you know, get warmed up and then head out, get the helmets on, and then for it to be delayed, and then all my family and everyone was at the end of the stage. So yeah, I suppose one way you could say that, but at the same time, after the week that we had with the weather at the start of the rally, you know, the issue on Friday, all the twists and turns, I just didn't care how it was going to happen as long as we could get the job done. So you know, it was a bit weird the way it ended up, but you know, we turned the car, put the helmets in the boot, and had a nice leisurely drive back to the service park to see everybody there. So, I didn't really care how it happened as long as we got the job done.
Can you describe that moment when you realize you've done it? Is it tears? Is it just uncontrollable laughter? Is it smiles? What is it? Or maybe not even, did you react at all? Was it almost one of these things that the mental drain of it all, it kind of takes a while for it to actually hit you?
It was strange, you know, because when Liam said the stage was cancelled, we just sort of looked at each other and like, okay, will we just put the helmets in the boot now? And I suppose it was the rest of the guys in the championship that started to come up and congratulate us. And obviously Eamon and Connor were there. You know, we were all lined up having the crack as you do before you go into the stage. And it's a funny story that we were parked on this really steep hill, and I had just said that, you know, wouldn't it be bad if someone's handbrake let go right now? And then the next thing I heard this bang and I looked over, and it was Diego's car had rolled into mine. So there's a bit of a panic on checking the radiator, and he swears that it's not sabotage, but I suppose straight away after, I suppose wasn't sure, you know, what to say for a while, and you're that happy and so happy for everyone that is involved, you know, and my family out there as well. So it's quite unbelievable, and it's a good feeling.
Now, you obviously want a lot more from your rallying career, of course you do, but no matter where it goes now, you will always be a world champion, which just, I don't know, it's just mental, isn't it? Like, for that sort of thing to happen, and I don't mean it to sound strange, but it's a weird one for me as well, because I've known you for most of your career. I feel like we've sort of grown through rallying at a similar rate. You've maybe usurped me a little bit here with the world title and all, but I don't know. It's like, to me, you're just still William, but now you're a world champion, if that makes sense. It's just quite bizarre to get your head around. It must, if that's me. So for you, I don't know. It's just, I guess, it's not the pinnacle of what you want to achieve, but as I say, no matter where it goes, nobody can take that from you now.
Yeah, and I think the other side from it, from being in the middle of it, you know, it's been such a long journey, and you're always moving, you know, from the carts to the Junior 1000, then into the rally, you know, the BRC. It's all steps, and, you know, when you get closer to the next step, then that becomes achievable. So I think it's hard to believe if you were stood right at the beginning and you were saying, okay, we're going to be Junior WRC champion. But then, you know, when you start to win stages in the JWRC, then we won a couple of rallies, then we're in a good position in the championship. And, you know, when that starts to happen, then the end goal starts to become achievable. So the closer you get to it, then, you know, I suppose in a way the less dramatic it is when you do it. But it's, looking at it as a whole, it's such a good story. And, you know, like I always say, for all the people that are involved with me, Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy, you know, family, Liam, who's been there from the start, it's, you know, they obviously get as much of a kick out of it as I do. And, you know, it's, rallying's a team sport and a lot of people involved. So it's just so good for everybody involved, and for us to get the job done, to reward them and, you know, keep them motivated. And it's a good feeling.
I'll keep this quick, because I know we actually are genuinely running out of time now, but it is kind of criminal. It's taken me an hour to properly ask you a question about Liam Regan, your co-driver, because you mentioned it a couple times, but he has been here since pretty much the very start of your rally career. So the two of you have really gone on this journey together. Just how great and how useful has it been to have him in the car with you, and I guess just describe his role in this achievement?
Yeah, I've been lucky to have such few navigators, and you know, I had guys at the start, Andrew Bush, another friend, Aidan O'Connor, he was in, Neil Coleman in the Junior 1000, and then Liam in the Junior 1000, and right the whole way through. So yeah, Liam was there to really actually teach me how to drive, because, you know, we joke that he's really a driver, but now I think after being a world champion with me, he's going to be classified as a co-driver. But yeah, he was originally there to, you know, to teach me in the driving side of things with, you know, the experience that he had. And I think he always said to my dad, you know, okay, look, we'll get this year out of the way, and then I think, you know, it's time for me to take a step back and you to get a proper co-driver. And it just kept it kept going, and it's quite funny that how it's all panned out. But he's been, as you say, he's been there from the start, and the effort that he puts in, and you know, he's got a life back home as well, so it's been such a busy year for him, and I'm lucky to have someone that's willing to put in that amount of effort, and you know, is stuck by my side for so long.
Well, you've teed me up for the cheeky question now. If Liam's a driver, do you think you two could have done it the other way around? How are your co-driving skills?
I don't know. I've never put them to test, so I guess John Armstrong did it there not so long ago, and he did a pretty good job of it. So, yeah, it's maybe we'll have to give it a try.
I guess a couple of final points as well. You've mentioned it as well, but the Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy, I think obviously in UK and Ireland, we're very aware of what is being done. I think across the world now, particularly with this success, it's becoming inescapably obvious what the goal is and what the intention is. Just how much has being part of that program helped you? Because it's all the things beyond the driving, from what I can tell, that really seem to make the difference.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the whole JWRC project started with them in 2021, and you know, they've been a part of that whole WRC journey. So, you know, I literally wouldn't have done it without them, and you know, it's even on the bad days when there's bad results, you know, they've still got your back, and they, you know, it's gather up and let's try again, and you know, there's been plenty of those days. So and like you said, you know, all the support that we get back home before the rallies, you know, the training, they've put this academy in place, and it's given drivers and co-drivers the development that they need to be able to compete at that level. And you know, it's as much about us using the academy to our benefit, and you know, the professional guys that are there to give you training, and you know, physical training, mental, nutrition, it's all there. So, you know, I've been lucky that I've been able to tap into that, and they've got a structure in place that's, you know, helped me be junior WRC champion. So, yeah, it's, you know, everybody's done it together.
And finally, for me, I guess there was something fitting, if that's the right word to use, in the way this year panned out. We obviously know how difficult a year it has been for Ireland, particularly with the passing of Craig Breen, but there's been another couple of sort of local guys as well. So for you, I guess, to bring this result back home for your country after what has been such a difficult year, and particularly in the way you did it, because I remember you and I were talking about it actually before the Acropolis, and you said to me you weren't actually aware of just how much or how close it was for Craig to win the title when he won it back in 2011, and it wasn't quite the same for you. It wasn't quite a level point scenario, but it was up very nip and tuck to the end. So to me, I don't know, there was something really, and nice is definitely not the right word to use, but I think you know what I mean, like it sort of came together poetically in a way there. So it must be quite humbling and special, and is it a source of pride? Again, it feels like the wrong word to use, but you've delivered something positive from what's been a very difficult year for everyone.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I said to you before, Grace, that I was listening to the podcast with Craig and Bex, and I didn't realise how, you know, I knew the story, but I just didn't realise the detail and the points and what he had to do to win the championship. So that's another crazy story. So yeah, it, as you said, you know, it hasn't been an easy year for rallying back home, you know, and for me then to emulate what he did. You know, I'm never gonna fill the gap that he left, and you know, his personality was unique to the WRC, but to then be compared, you know, because winning the same championship as him and people making those comparisons and being in, you know, having my name alongside his name and other names that have won that championship, you know, all these great drivers, it's an honor. And you know, a lot of people that have sent messages, and you know, I've got a lot of joy out of Liam and I winning, and that's put a smile on a lot of people's faces, so that makes me feel good. So yeah, it's definitely special, and makes it that bit more emotional.
Yeah, no, indeed. I think there's nowhere else we can really go with that. It does feel like the perfect place to end. Will, really do appreciate your time, and from all of us at Dirtfish, massive congratulations for what you've managed to achieve. Obviously gives you four events at least in a Fiesta Rally 2 next year in WRC 2, which I imagine you're looking forward to.
Yeah, it's exciting. Great prize. We got to sit down now and see what we can put together. Yeah, it's exciting. And yeah, let's see what happens.
I guess the only thing left to achieve is to beat me on a rally. If you remember the Neil Howard stage at Oulton Park 2 years ago, and I finished 2 seconds ahead of you.
Well, if I beat you in a rally, that would then cancel out the bet to owe you an ice cream. How about that?
That's a deal. Okay, we'll get it arranged somehow. Well, thanks very much. Really appreciate it. We'll keep in touch.
Thank you very much.